Well, as you know, that's a very serious song, isn't it? Whatever it takes for our will to be broken. And oftentimes God will allow brokenness into our lives. And we don't understand, why do we go through some of the things that we go through? I know a lot of us are asking that question. But the fact is, He's still God. And you can either focus on the storms of life or you can focus on God. That's your choice, right? So today, I'm dealing with the graduates, but I'm also thinking about where you are and asking this question, who are you? Didn't ask who do you think you are, but who are you? You know, we got our cell phones. I left mine down there. We like the selfies. People, you know, everybody does the selfies thing. So I think that's what that picture is, a selfie. And we like taking pictures of ourselves with a background or something behind us. But when you're looking at that, you should ask yourself, well, who am I? I mean, if someone was to ask you who you are, what would your answer be? Who are you? Y'all getting it. Amen. We're getting there. Come on now. But you need to be thinking about who you are. Well, no one in Scripture seems to understand this better than a young man by the name of Daniel. So take your Bibles and turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. And when you find your place in God's Word, I'm going to ask you to stand with me in reverence to the reading of God's holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word. Now, our best days are before us. We got some great preaching coming down the road here. We got Brother Eric Avery, and you know, y'all know Eric, don't you? Eric can preach. I'm telling you, he's a good preacher. So we're going to be attending the Southern Baptist Convention, and we're going to be hearing a lot of preaching about this time next week. But I appreciate Eric, and I haven't asked Eric, but I know Eric, and I know his heart. He will minister to you any way that you ask him to, okay? So just ask him. Say, brother, you know, I need some help here, and he'll help you. And then Matt Hash, which I'm sort of upset with him today. He's in France. I'd like to tag along. Tough life. Yeah, I'll tell you, these soldiers. But anyway, he'll be back, and he'll be preaching for us as well. Okay, Daniel chapter 1, verse 11. Then said Daniel to Belzer, who was the prince of the eunuchs, had set over Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishaela, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Then Melzer took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding and all visions and dreams. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he would bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel and Hananiah and Mishaela and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters, now listen to this verse, in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. You know, as I'm preaching this message, I've got this verse going in the back of my mind, who are you? And this scripture in Matthew 10, 39, he who seeks only himself brings himself to ruin, whereas he who brings himself to naught for me discovers who he is. You want to discover who you are? Jesus said this in the King James Version. He who tries to find his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. That's how you'll know who you are. May we get lost in Jesus today. Amen. So we can know who we really are. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this great, great story of truth of a young man who would not compromise his life Lord, he was intentional in living. He knew who he was. He was not led by other men. He was led by you, O God. And that's my prayer for myself, for our church today, that we would not be intimidated, we would not be bullied by others, but we would follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly Satan would do everything he can to keep us from doing that. He wants to take our eyes off of you, Lord. And I pray today that we will do what Daniel did, even in the lion's den, and even as Belshazzar later was going to try to take his life, here he is standing for you, God. I thank you for this man that knew how to take a stand. I pray for your oil of anointing to be upon this place. Anoint us afresh and anew, and speak through me with clarity, truth, and authority. Thus saith the Lord. And I want to pause right now. Lord, we've agreed as a church. I registered this church to do what Franklin Graham asked us to do today as a pastor. And so as the pastor of this church, I want to pray for our president, Donald Trump. Lord, if there's any man that's being persecuted, if there's any man that's being ridiculed, if there's any man that is hated in this nation by many, Lord, it's Donald Trump. And Lord, I don't understand it. It's confusing to me. This president has got more done than most presidents that preceded him. Lord, there's a lot happening in our country. And I know we're divided, and I'm sure there are probably those maybe here today who are against Donald Trump. But Lord, as Franklin Graham has asked for us to pray for those who have authority over us. Lord, whether we are for or against Donald Trump, we are clearly instructing your word to pray for our president. So Father, we are obeying the word of God today, and we are doing what Billy Graham probably would lead Franklin Graham to do today, and that is to call all the churches in America to pause in the middle of their worship service and pray for our president. So I ask you, oh God, that your hand would be upon our president, and that, Lord, you would bless him indeed, that you would enlarge his territory, that your hand would ever be upon him, that you would keep him from all evil that would cause pain. Oh God, be with him, his wife, his children, and I pray, oh God, that this man will be seen for who he is, that he is a man trying to lead this nation back to you. God, I know Satan hates him, but God, we love anyone who's willing to be prayed for. And Donald Trump from day one has asked for prayer. So we pray for him today as the president, as the commander in chief, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We just got this word this week. It's on the front of your bulletin. And that scripture is in Timothy, where it says you to pray for all those who have authority over you. Franklin Graham has got a deep, deep burden right now that our president is under a lot of criticism. Can y'all don't believe, you don't believe a word I'm saying, do you? No. How much more criticism can a man take? But it's daily, and it's amazing. Well, here's a man that, you know, he was criticized. His name was Daniel, and a lot was said against Daniel. Daniel, in one way, stood alone in that. I know he had these friends with him, but I'm talking about when he had to stand before the grandfather Nebuchadnezzar, and then the son Belshazzar, and all these in his day. As you know, what happened here, they were taken captive, these young Israelites, and they always would take the younger, you know, people, thinking that they can mold and make them and shape them into What they wanted them to be, these kings. You know, they were more dictators than they were leaders. And so the neat thing about this story is this. Daniel just would not concede. I'm going to challenge children here today. I'm going to challenge these young people today. Don't give in to peer pressure. And don't give in to the world. And that's where we are today. And by the way, you may feel, and I've been there too, where you feel like you're all alone. But if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen? You know, speaking of Billy Graham and Franklin Graham, I read this funny story. I thought I'd share it with you. Billy Graham was returning home after a speaking engagement. And when his plane arrived at the airport, there was a real long black limousine that met him to transport him. Just as he was about to get in the back of the limo, he stopped. He whispered to the driver who was holding the door open for him. You know, he said, I'm almost 90 years old. You know, he lived to be 99. He said, I'm almost 90 years old and I have never, ever driven a limousine. Would you mind if I was the driver? And the driver said, no problem. Have at it. Well, Billy got into the driver's seat and they headed out to the interstate. And you know how it is here in North Carolina? We got a highway patrolman everywhere there is. I'm behind every little exit. I've seen several this week. They would hide. And so this rookie, he found him a good place at an exit. And he was hiding up there at the bridge. And here comes Billy. And he's not even thinking about the speed limit. He was going 75 in a 55. And so this young cop pulled him over. And he motioned for Billy to roll down the window, and Billy rolled down the window. And when the rookie cop looked and saw who it was, he didn't know what to do. He thought, my gracious, that's Billy Graham. So he goes back to his, he says, wait, just right here. I've got to talk to my supervisor. So he goes back and he gets on his CB or whatever, and he says, listen, I know I'm new at this, and I know that there's some special... Courtesy shown to famous people, but I want to keep the law. I just pulled someone mighty famous. What do you do when you pull a famous person? Well, his supervisor said, well, who is it? Is it the mayor? He said, no, he's bigger than that. Said, is it the governor? Said, no, he's bigger than that. Could it be the president? No, he's bigger than that. Well, who is it that you've pulled? He said, I really don't know, but I think it must be Jesus Christ in the back of the limo because Billy Graham's a chauffeur. Let me tell you something. You need to know who you are. Amen? And you need to know who you're pulling. So if you had to answer to God today, and God would say, well, who are you? Could you say, I'm a child of the King? Could you say, I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ? Could you say, I'm a friend of God? Amen. Could you say that I'll go wherever you would have me to go, Lord? Amen. You know, whatever God would, and you know, God may put you through something to make you who He wants you to be. We're all going through something. Everybody in this room is going through something. I just pray that we'll come out as gold tried in the fire. I learned a long time ago, and I've been a pastor for 42 years, you don't need to defend yourself. Just be who you are. That's all you got to do. That's what Jesus did. You say, well, wait a minute. Maybe had Jesus stood up for himself and defended himself, he wouldn't have gone through all that he went through. But he was all the time in the plan of God. The whole time. Did Jesus ever sin? No. He never messed up. He followed the will of his Father. And that's what I want to challenge these graduates to do. You know what? It's so easy to conform to this world. But the Bible says we're to be transformed. And that's a part of our vision, to be transformed. And that word transformed, the goal is to be more like Christ. So that's a challenge. You know what? Listen to me carefully. It's easier to be more like the world. It's easy to allow the world to conform you. I think of college and even Campbell, where I went. Now, I'm a graduate of Campbell University. Let me tell you something. You're going to be exposed even at Campbell or any school with all kinds of messed up thinking. I will appreciate a professor I had at Campbell. I can't remember his name. He taught geology. I remember that. And I remember the first class, and he said this, today I'm going to teach evolution, but I don't believe none of this junk. He said, I believe I came from God. I said, well, amen. Well, teach your junk then. You know what? You know, about like the guy said, once I was a tadpole beginning to begin, then I was a frog with my tail stuck in, then I was a monkey in a bambin tree, and I'm a professor with a PhD. You know, we're all, and if evolution, if that was true, don't you think we would have evolved into something better than we are today? I mean, if it's evolution, if we did come from a monkey or something, don't you think we would have done better by now? We're in our society in America, we're acting like a bunch of monkeys, killing each other. This last shooting. I'm amazed. It's getting to be the norm. That we're, you know, I was leaving this morning. I saw the flag half mast, and I thought this. We're seeing the flag of the United States at half mast more so than we're seeing it all the way up. because we're always grieving over something here. What's wrong? What's going on in our world today? I'll tell you what's going on. We are conceding to the enemy. We are. We're giving up ground to the enemy. And Daniel would not do that. Let me ask you something today. Who are you? Are you one who will make a difference? I don't know about you, but I want to be the one who makes a difference. Are you the one who impacts your world or merely an indicator of what the climate is? Are you a thermostat or a thermometer? Which are you? I mean, a lot of people just want to live, I don't know, in a mode of survival. They've settled for a settle for life, but God wants to do much more than that. Well, how is that going to happen? Number one, you got to learn, regardless of your age, and most of you, in fact, all four of you have graduated, and everyone in here has graduated from some school, I'm sure, but we've all dealt with, number one, peer pressure. Now, peer pressure is a serious thing. And here's how the peer pressure came in Daniel's day. It came through food. Isn't that funny? How that Daniel was being asked to do what the king Nebuchadnezzar said, to eat the king's food and drink the king's wine, so that you could be well-trained and you could be real sharp in all of his kingdom. So let's look at appetite. Look at verse 12. He said, "Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse." Now, this is Daniel. Pulse is a vegetarian diet, okay? So they were just going to eat vegetables. By the way, I can live on vegetables. Maybe you couldn't, but I love them. To eat and water to drink. Pat's challenged us to drink a lot of water. Did you know what? That's mainly what our body's made up of. I mean, we need to be drinking a lot of water. We try to drink a lot of water. I remember the first of this year, and you know, this was, I thought was going to be a real trying time. It was a very precious time. Eric Avery asked me, he said, would you, I got some chaplains going with me, would you go up to Ridgecrest for, what was it, 2 or 3 days, and we were going to just pray and fast. Well, I've never done that. I've always wanted to, but I've never done it. And I went with Eric, and none of the other chaplains showed up, so it was just me, Eric and I. But I found out something. You can live fine on water, you know? And it was precious. Now, I know Satan didn't want us to do that, but boy, we had some God moments, didn't we? I mean, I love something he did. We had a big whiteboard there, and he said, "Ronnie, why don't we just write down on this board whatever God's telling us?" And as God would speak, he would get up there and write it down, and the board got filled. I'll tell you what, when you have a hunger for God, it's amazing what God will do for you. When you come to God and you're willing to lay aside the flesh and say, "All right, now God, speak to my heart." Daniel was saying to this eunuch, this court official that was over him, the king assigned them a daily portion of the rich food. And he was saying, "Well, what if we were not to take this and for 10, just try this for 10 days? You see, they were to be educated for 3 years, and at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. But Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's rich food or with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Pulse was God's appetite. Do you have an appetite for the things of God or the things of the world? I'll tell you where America is today. We have an appetite for the things of the world. America today is moving away from God, and that's where we are, because we hunger more for the worldly things than we do the godly things. Last week I challenged you. Do you want to be a godly church? You say, "Well, that's not very popular." Not today. Most churches are looking more like the world than ever before. But to be a godly church, you would have a spiritual appetite, a hunger for the Word of God. While the world puts the pressure on you to look like and act like the world, the Bible tells us we're to be separate from the world. We're called to be saints. We're not called to live like sinners anymore. We are so well fed with the world and its culture that now the world and the culture controls us. They determine who we are. You take, for example, our media. Our media has a lot to do with electing the presidents of the United States of America. It's amazing what the media, what the culture, what the world will do. And even in college, you go to college, and college will train you more how to look like the world. Now, I don't know of even Campbell which is was founded, and all these schools were founded upon Christian principles, but they will train you more to think like the world than to think like God. The Bible tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. So what kind of appetite do you want for your daily life? Worldly or godly? Look up here. Everybody look up here. The choices you make, make you. I'm going to say it again. The choices you make, make you. I like what Joshua of old said. Choose you this day whom you will serve. If God be God, then serve him. If Baal be Baal, then serve him. Who are you serving today? Are you bowing down to the appetites of your flesh more so than the will of God for your life? And then appearance. Let's look at that word. Verse 13. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenances of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat. Okay, so you had this group of young people. Only Daniel and his friends said, we don't want to eat the king's meat. We don't want to drink the king's wine. Give us 10 days to prove this. And if our appearances are fairer, or our flesh is fatter than theirs, then may we continue to eat the pulse. Notice what he says in verse 15. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Someone needs to preach to young people and tell them they don't have to look like the world or act like the world, talk like the world, or live like the world. Someone needs to preach the truth to our students today and say, you can be different. You don't have to give in to the world. You don't have to give in to peer pressure. You know, bullying has got to be a big thing in school. You don't have to give in to them. I'll tell you what, now I've never been one to get in a fight, but I got him one. There was a bully, and it's bullies have always been. This guy, he was stronger than I was. He was faster than I was. And I remember he was always picking on somebody. He would always, and you know what that dude would do? And you know, I didn't feel like I could run to someone. This guy would come out and hit you in the back of your head. I mean, he'd come by and just pop you in the back of the head. Boy, that made me mad. Well, I thought, you know, I've had about as much as I can take of this. And I was fed up with it. I always carried a knapsack, and I put all my books in that bag that day, every book that I had. I'd been hit by this guy and picked on this guy long enough that I knew his steps. I didn't even look around. I could hear he was trotting up behind me, and he's going to hit me. About that time, I wasn't wearing a knapsack on my back, I was carrying it. About that time he came up behind me, I took that knapsack and with everything in me, I swung it around and I hit that dude in the head. And I'm telling you something, he hit the sidewalk and he did not get up. I knocked him out. Amen. I did. Guess what? Now, I made sure I was not on school property. I was about 10 years old. You say, preacher, you're teaching our children something wrong. You got to learn to stand up for yourself. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And you know what? I'm not going to take a fall with that knucklehead. I made him fall. Now, I ain't going to lie to you. I did look back because I knocked him out. I thought, Lord, is he going to get up? I guess he got up. And by the way, his name was Manshak. He came from a family that he was beaten. His daddy would beat him. I mean, all he knew was how to fight and how to bully. You know what? The next day I saw him, I couldn't believe. I left a bruise on the side of his face, and I thought, his appearance is not looking good today. But so help me, that boy never touched me again. He never bothered me. And you know what? Peer pressure is real. People today, even as an adult, will try to bully you. They will try to intimidate you. And you know, I'm just one of these old-fashioned preachers. I'm not easily intimidated. I'm not the kind that I'm not going to push back. But you know what? I'm not going to let you push me. I don't like when people try to intimidate other people or bully other people. Pure pressure is not of God. I'll tell you that. It comes from the devil. Where the devil's trying to cause you to be conformed to someone else's image. Our appearance is to be like Christ. We're called to be salt and light. And by the way, salt and light is going to rub someone wrong. Okay, it will. But our appearance is that we're to be like Christ. And that don't mean, you know, Jesus was a meek man, but he wasn't a weak man. You know, Jesus was a strong man. And you know what? He didn't put up with junk. He called the Pharisees and the Sadducees what they were. He said, you're a bunch of white sepulchers. I mean, he stood up for what he believed was right. And then accusations. Notice what it says in verse 13. And in last part of verse 13. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Many people speak before they think. Daniel was not outspoken. He was wise and courteous in his speech. I love a quote from one of our presidents, Abraham Lincoln, who was once quoted as, that it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt. That's pretty good. They say, well, I am just going to call it for what I see it. You can easily see it wrong, my friend. I can see things wrong. False accusations pressure you into saying something that you should never say. Bullying, unkind words, jesting, the Bible uses that word, all can be false accusations that people pressure other people with. Don't turn to revenge in your life or any kind of accusation. Turn to God, and the Bible says God will take care of it. Matthew 12, 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak. Now listen, people don't believe this no more, but it's still in the Bible. They don't believe there's no accountability, but it's still in the Bible. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Be careful. If you've been falsely accused of something, it would be better for you that you did not accuse anyone or try to answer them what you think other people think of you. We are free to choose, but we're not free to choose the consequences of our choices. So be careful how you deal with conflict, how you deal with accusations in life, because you know what? People are going to say things, and they're going to challenge you, but you don't have to own them because you know who you are. Now, are y'all with me today? You need to know who you are. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. The next thing is powerful people. Look at verse 11. Daniel was dealing with some powerful people here. It says, then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel. And then look at verse 10. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. And why should he see your face as worse? Why should he see your face as worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. This eunuch, he was a trusted court official. Daniel saw his God is more powerful than any prince of the king of Babylon. And Daniel knew his identity was in his God. You will need to be equipped in how to deal with people who have to be in control of everything. We live in a world of power-hungry people. So how do you deal with people? How as graduates, how as a church are we going to stand in these last days? Because I dare say, and Sherry and I have been talking about this a lot here lately, you are going to be persecuted for your faith. You're living in that day. You understand? We're going to have a missionary speaking to us soon, Josh Stewart. And Josh is not going to be able to work with our youth, as I hope, but he is coming. And he's going to speak to us. And he's serving as a missionary, Christians are being murdered every day. Now, he's a Christian, and he's serving for the gospel's sake, but he understands that because of his stand, his life could be taken. Sharon, I've been talking about this. What will this look like in the last days? Will we have to give our life for Christ? I want to ask you something. If someone came in here with a gun right now and said, all of those who profess Jesus Christ, if you stand up, I'm going to shoot you. I wonder how many people would stand up or stay seated. Not many people want to stand up. Wow. Thank you, Summer. You know what? Thank you, Rich. Would you really do that, Rita? You would stand up. I'm going to tell you, it's hard. Wow, okay. I didn't ask you to. You don't have to stand up, but I believe many people will. But the fact is, a lot of people today will not stand for their faith. And if we don't learn to stand, how is God going to stand with us? Hello? I mean, really, if we're going to be wimps instead of warriors. You know, God's called us to be a soldier of the cross. It's easy to be a wimp. You know what you have to do to be a wimp? Nothing. It takes something to be a soldier, to be a warrior. This military, our military, many of them are represented here today. These guys have no idea the respect I have for them, that they're willing to fight for our freedom. To me, that's the powerful people. You know, those who are willing to do something instead of just talk about it. So let's do something. Don't seek to be served, serve. Notice what he says in verse 12, prove thy servant. Verse 13, deal with thy servants. King Nebuchadnezzar sought to be served. Daniel was there to serve. Nebuchadnezzar ended up in the pasture, the Bible says, eating grass like a wild animal because God judged him. Daniel ended up as the prince in Babylon. You will always have to deal with people over you. Luke 22, 24, listen to this. And there was also a dispute among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. Talking about the disciples. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they which exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be the younger, the servant, and he that is chief as he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. Kingdom authority is the ability to serve and give life, but never to control or coerce. Let me tell you something. The key, according to Scripture, to life, listen to me carefully, on who you are, is your willingness to serve. Daniel served. Daniel showed servant leadership here. I mean, it's amazing because, listen to me, gonna learn something now, because his heart was to serve, the Bible says he entered into great favor with the eunuchs, with those who are over him. In fact, they liked Daniel. You know why? Everybody likes someone who serves, right? I mean, here you are. Daniel was there. He didn't try to show any power or he humbled himself and he was willing to serve. And by the way, that's what Jesus did on this earth. Did he not? From day one to the day he arose from the grave, went back to the Father, he showed us servanthood all over. So don't seek to be served. Serve. Jesus said it this way about himself. He knew who he was. I've not come to be ministered to. I've come to minister. If you come to church to be ministered to, you're going to miss it. But if you come to church to minister, we minister to the Lord. Amen. We serve Him. So you want God to do some powerful things in your life. Don't try to be a powerful person. Just serve the Lord. You want to be, you want to make a difference. I mean, you've already made a great accomplishment in your life. Then learn to serve. Second of all, don't seek to be somebody. Be somebody. Now, verse 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love. As I just said, now listen, this is a key part of this. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Daniel sought to be somebody. Be the person God designed you to be. God most definitely is the one who has the blueprints for your life. He has a plan for your life. Everybody believe that? Raise your hand. God has a blueprint for your life. Wouldn't you like to know what the blueprint looks like? Well, God's already got it all laid out from the day you're born to the day you die. And so here's my challenge for you. Everybody is somebody in His body. Amen? Do I need to say it again? Talking about this sheet? I'll tell you what. If every person here today would simply do what God had called them to do, every need in this church would be met. Everybody is somebody in His body. Daniel stood out in the crowd. Look at verse 20. It says in verse 20, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all the realm of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. How could this be? Well, let's look at it. He had the countenance of God's presence upon him. He had the glow of God upon him. Two, he showed respect to everyone around him. That's a powerful thing. Respect goes a long ways. Amen. It really does. You know, I've always told Noah and Jacob and Sarah, I mean, toward me, I don't know how they are toward you, but those kids show nothing but respect. You know, when children respect other people, it stands out in our society. Many of the kids here in our church, they show respect. We need to teach respect. It'll get you somewhere. Are y'all listening to me? It'll get you somewhere. Know who you are. Here's what Daniel knew. He knew who he was, and he showed respect. He stood out because he lived out what God had put inside of him. The choices you make will make you. He knew who he was because he knew whose he was. He was the child of the one true king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel understood this. He would not let King Nebuchadnezzar determine his identity, to define who he is. Don't, listen to me carefully. Don't let some college professor, don't let any person define who you are. God defines who you are. He made you who you are. And look up here. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't hold your head down. Stand up as a child of God and say, I'm somebody in his body. Because everybody is somebody in his body. God's got a plan for your life. I want you to see it that way. Don't seek to be somebody. Be somebody. And then don't seek to stand. Just stand. Therefore, verse 11, last part. Therefore, stood they before the king. Now, when they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar tried to stand as a king, and guess what happened to him? He failed. Folks, Jesus never fails. If you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for something. God gives us tests to make us stand. Satan gives us temptations to make us stumble. Where do you stand? Do you allow the leadership of the Holy Spirit to work in your life? I believe the Holy Spirit's working, but do we allow it? You know, I believe the Holy Spirit works in churches every Sunday, drawing men and women to himself. But a lot of people will go out the back door never to obey the Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit's knocking on the door to be saved. Maybe someone's here today and you've been putting it off. You need to take a stand on that. Stand against the devil. What do you allow to guide your decisions, your relationships? Do you think God's making recommendations? No, he's not. God wants us to take a stand. If you want to test your footing, walk against the crowd. If you want to know if you're standing on a truly solid foundation, let your principles come under fire. Daniel took a stand, and he stood for a particular purpose. And that's the last thing I want to talk about, a particular purpose, because everybody has a purpose here today. Now, I hope you're getting something out of this, because this same Daniel, you know, he was going to be thrown in the fire furnace with Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And guess what? They took a stand for the true living God. And when the king looked over, he said, didn't we put these men in the fiery furnace? Weren't there four of them? He said, there's a fifth one, and he looks like the Son of God. You know what? God may allow you to be put in the fire of life, but he'll be with you. Amen? Amen. He'll be with you. Fire is never easy. Man, you can get burnt in the fire. But the fact is, if God be for you, who can be against you? You need to understand your particular purpose, okay? You might need to know your furnace too. And by the way, they turned up the heat 7 times hotter, didn't they? And not a hair on their head was singed. And you know what else the Bible says? Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Now, how's that? I went to bed last night stinking. I was ashamed. I said, honey, I know you smell charcoal. I cooked something on the grill and I smelt myself and I said, I smell like charcoal. Those guys didn't even smell like fire. They didn't smell like, not a stench was upon them. How can that be? I mean, here's Daniel in the lion's den. Because he took a stand, he just stood there. He didn't do nothing. What did Daniel do in the lion's den? The Bible says he just stood there. And there were lions all around him, and those lions were hungry lions now. But not one of them even touched him. Daniel was delivered out of the lion's den. You say, Preacher Ronnie, I don't believe all that stuff. Let me tell you something. Then you don't believe God, because God rescued Daniel from the fiery furnace. God rescued Daniel from the fiery furnace. Now, what was the purpose? By the way, you don't never have to worry about dying in the will of God, because you ain't going nowhere until God says so. God's got a purpose for you living. I had a man in my last church, bless his heart, he'd get up and pray, and I had to say something to him. I said, Billy, I want you to stop praying. He would pray this, Lord, I'm 70. No, I'm 70 now. That's 70. I know I'm at the end of the road now. You ready to take me home? You know what? Billy prayed that prayer probably 20 years ago, and Billy is still alive today. I mean, really, hey, you know what? God's not done till he's done, amen? And God's not done with you. Look, the Bible says in verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. This is the key passage of all this. Now, you four graduates, if you don't get anything else, get this part, okay? Write it down in your heart. He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. I would challenge every child, every young person here to do some things today. Purpose in your heart not to defile yourself. That is, not to do anything in your body that, against God. Save yourself from marriage. That's the kind of thinking I'm talking about. This was Daniel's particular purpose. Number one, and this is your purpose, whether you acknowledge it or not. You know why you are here today? You know why you were born? What is your purpose? We're trying to discover who you are. Well, I'll tell you why you're here, to glorify God. Number one, your particular purpose, the purpose for you living, is to glorify God. Rick Warren wrote a book. What was the name of the book? Purpose-Driven Life. You know the whole meaning of purpose-driven life? It just simply teaches that you're to glorify God. Your goal in life should not be to go to college or desire a job just to make a lot of money. The question to ask is this, graduates, can I do this that it might glorify God more? Can I glorify God the most by taking this job? Your purpose in life is to glorify God. Here is the promise. If you glorify God with your life will be fulfilling and satisfied according to Scripture. Why? Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God wants you to make it. He wants you to do well in life. But only as I'm satisfied in Him will I make it in life. If you're trying to get things to satisfy you, you'll never be satisfied. But if you will glorify God and you'll see yourself, you know what? I've got all I need in Jesus and I'm thankful. You know, I had someone the other day who was really struggling, and this is what they said to me. I'm just thankful. I'm just thankful. Glorify God in all that you do. Second of all, give generously. And you say, well, I figured you'd put that in there. Well, that's what they did. Look at that in verse 20. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all the realm. Corrie ten Boom said this. This is a quote from her. I have held many things in my hands and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. What is in my hand will go no further than what I can do with it in this life. What is in God's hand will go further than what God can do with it. God can do a lot more with it because, you see, God's going to take care of it for all eternity. In the little boy's hands, think about it. And this is a great illustration. He had but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all he had. Enough for his lunch. But he was willing to take what he had and he put it in God's hands. And in Jesus' hands, when he blessed it, he fed 5,000. How can one boy's lunch feed 5,000? Because it's in God's hands. Look up here, folks. I'm almost done. If you and I will learn every day to give ourselves to God and say, all right, God, I'm in your hands. You know what the prayer I have for this church? God, may they see your hand at work. Amen. Because little is much when God's in it. God can take a little handful of food, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and feed 5,000 men, more than likely 5,000 women too, and children. Because you know what? The little boy was willing to give his all. He gave his lunch to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? But multiply. God says, I will give you all that I can, and that's unlimited, so you can give what you can and share what you can. Little boy said to God, God, how long is 1,000,000 years to you? And God said, it's only 1 minute to me. Little boy said, God, how much is $1,000,000 to you? And God said, it's just a penny to me. Little boy said, God, can I have a penny? God said, just a minute. We need to learn to give generously. And you know what? As God is blessed, as you further yourself, as you educate yourself, and God blesses you with more, why does he do that? So you can be a blessing to others. And then last thing, God's gift. Notice what he said in verse 17. This was God's gift. And by the way, Jeff and Kathy and Noah and Bree, everything you have in your heart, in your mind, is a gift from God. Okay? All knowledge is from God, really. I mean, think about it. Look what it says here in verse 17. And for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. God would like to give you the blueprint for your life. Every person here one day will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Our identity is in Christ, not our work, not our world, not in our building, not in our city or anything else. Our identity begins and ends with Christ. He is our creator, sustainer, and final judge. Don't miss God's gift. So we got some gifts today, and I want to give you a gift that's from the church, and I appreciate that when God gives a gift. Now, I'm going into the invitation with this. When God gives a gift, it's not a, he's not an Indian taker. Amen? It's not an Indian gift. He don't take it back. And just like salvation, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Now, you know, Julian Marlowe went to a lot of trouble. We've never given gifts with so many. I don't even know what's all in here. There's a lot of stuff in here. All right. So she put all this together, especially for these graduates. I want to ask you something. Think about all that God has done for you. Are you going to receive this gift from God, or are you going to reject it? I mean, look what Jesus did on the cross for you. He died for you. He wrapped himself up on that cross, and he shed his precious blood for you. He paid a price for you. All you got to do is receive the gift. Amen? Amen? Think about God's gift. It's for a particular purpose, and this one's for a particular purpose. It says Jeff Bailey, okay? And this one is for a particular purpose. It says Kathy Miles. Now, I'm going somewhere with this. I thought I'd use this as an illustration. We're in, you know, what do they say? But thank you. And this one has Noah Hash on it. So, Noah, I'm trying to teach you something. God's got a particular purpose for you. Amen? Now, Noah, he thinks going to join the Air Force is going to bring him closer to God. So, Noah, I'm counting on that as you fly up high, okay? That you're going to go and you're going to do things there. But you know what? So help me. It don't matter whether you've got a degree in psychology or education or Air Force or nursing. God has put you there to use the gifts for his glory. Amen. Okay? Bree, you're going to make a great nurse. I know you are. You know what? Here's the bottom line, church. God has given everything that we need to serve him. Now, they have received these gifts. There's all kinds of stuff in it. If they don't use it, it's not going to do them no good. Now, I'm going to teach you something. You can have all the knowledge, and you're some smart people. But if you don't use it, can I just tell you what I think of you? You're a bunch of dummies. You are. I mean, why would you allow God to bless you with the gifts of learning, knowledge, and wisdom, and you don't use it? There's a lot of people that don't use it, right? Now think about it. What good is it? What good is it? I'm going to ask you today, would you bow your head? Who are you? I want to ask you that question. I want you to bow your head. Who are you? If you were to stand before God right now, could you honestly say, I am a child of God? Can you say that? If you were to stand before God right now and God was to ask you, who are you? Now, by the way, God knows who you are, but he wants you to know. You know, you think about the first man, Adam. Did God know where Adam was when he sinned? God asked the question, where are you, Adam? Well, God knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. And God wants you to know today who you are. If you don't know who you are, you're not going to stand for anything. You need to stand up today as a child of God. You need to stand up as I challenged you a while ago, that if someone was to say, you know what, I'm fixing to take your life, are you willing to stand and say, well, I am a child of God? Sudden death, sudden glory. You say, well, God don't want me to die for him. No, he wants you to live for him. But will you take a stand today and live for Jesus Christ? Here's the key. We're going to sing it. Will you surrender your all to him today? Don't hold nothing back. Why would you? Give it all to Jesus right now. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would do your office work here. If there's a person here that don't know you, and pardon forgiveness of sin, I pray today they'll be saved. Oh God, may the day be a day of transformation in all of our lives. Our church is in a day of transition. God, you're wanting to transform. I pray today that we will decide to follow Jesus, that we're going to serve you with all of our life. We're going to live for you. We're going to keep surrendering ourselves daily in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and we're going to sing. And this altar is wide open for you to pray. Some of our deacons will be down here to pray with you. You just let the Holy Spirit lead you today. What good is it if you know about Jesus and you don't receive him? Would you receive him today? Who are you?